I was sick last weekend. Apparently, I had influenza. I learned something. There is a difference between the flu and influenza. Typically, the flu, or you could say the stomach flu, stays in the stomach area and lasts for a day, and then you're over it. Influenza, also called the flu, but is more head, sinus, cold, cough, that kind of thing. And it typically lasts longer. So I had it, from Thursday night I started to get a cough, sinus, runny nose, that kind of thing. And then I was sick till Monday, went to the doctor on Monday, and had a sinus infection as well. All the symptoms, I had them, fever, cough, muscle aches, sore throat, headache, stuffed up. I had it all. And so typically when we are sick, one part is sick, the whole body feels it. My whole body was drained. I was tired. My body ached. I slept lots. That's how the body works. When one part is affected, the whole body is affected to it as well. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Today's message is on 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can turn there if you want to. I've entitled it Spiritual Gifts. It's hard to distinguish. Is it talking about spiritual gifts? Is it talking about the body? They're very closely connected. The message combines all of it together, so simply, spiritual gifts are given to edify the church. We know from 1 Corinthians that the church at Corinth was a divided church. Lots of issues, lots of struggles, lots of sin. The word divisions is used three times in the book of 1 Corinthians. They were divided at communion. They were divided about who they followed. They're taking each other to court. Some said, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. Some said, I follow Christ. They had many different opinions, and so Paul writes this letter to try to bring unity, to try to bring the body. And we see very quickly, as he opens up the book in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you might want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, how Paul exalts the name of Christ. We know from Ephesians and from Colossians that Christ is the head of the body. We are the church. We as members are the body. Christ is the head. But Paul makes it very clear from the beginning, before he deals with any issues, that Jesus is exalted. So let's read chapter 1:1-10, and take note of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Paul, called and is apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who are in every place, call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment. Clearly, Paul wants to exalt and magnify and point the Corinthian believers back to Jesus. As they begin to remember who they were, remember that their calling is in Christ and they're sanctified by Him, and they look forward to His coming on that day, they'll be blameless in Jesus Christ. Then Paul begins to deal with the issues, especially the issue of divisions. And then in chapter 12, he starts off with, now concerning spiritual gifts. So he's dealing with numerous issues in the church. Often he starts off with, and now concerning. They had written him a letter, and he wrote a letter back. That letter is now lost. There must have been some miscommunication, and so they had more questions about that first letter. So now he writes 1 Corinthians, which is actually the second letter, to clarify the questions they had. They had questions about spiritual gifts. Now he's answering that. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Spiritual gifts, and the first point, the first principle that we see about spiritual gifts is they are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. All believers, all born-again Christians, have the Holy Spirit living inside of them. That is not the issue that he's dealing with. He's dealing with when you get the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you also, with that, receive a gift or possibly numerous gifts that God will use to edify, to build up the church. Whatever gift, whatever ability you have, it has been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not that you can take credit for that yourself. Some definitions of a spiritual gift that I found. Supernatural abilities that God gives, or God-given natural abilities that function through the direction of the Holy Spirit. So either it's a supernatural ability that God gives, or it's a natural ability that you have that God empowers you to use it to edify the church. Another definition is an extraordinary endowment or a special ability. I like the way Wayne Grudem puts it. He simply says, any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. So, he says, it's any ability. It's not a supernatural empower. It's, you know, it's not this extraordinary endowment of the Holy Spirit, but possibly any ability that you have that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used to build up the church. In Scripture, we find approximately 20 spiritual gifts. We won't look at all of them, but if you want to make note of it, you can find them in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10, and then again in verse 28. In Romans 12, 6 to 8, there is a list, and also Ephesians 4:11 lists the offices of apostle, prophet, teacher, evangelist, which often would then entail that they have the gift of evangelism, they have the gift of prophecy, they have the gift of pastoring or teaching. And so from those three references, from the three passages, we can find approximately 20 gifts that are listed in Scripture that God uses to build up the church. People often say today, someone who is gifted in music, someone who is gifted in sports, my understanding would be the gifts, the spiritual gifts that we see are listed in Scripture. they are the gifts that God uses to empower the church, to enable the church to accomplish his work. But God can use the gift of sports, of music, of, you know, computer technical stuff. If you're able to use those things, perhaps God then gives you the gift of helps so that you can use that to minister to others. If you love baking, God can use that ability to then be a blessing in evangelism, in compassion, in caring for those who may need a meal, that sort of thing. But typically, a supernatural ability or a ability simply that you have, God will empower that with the Holy Spirit and use it to build up the church. So number one, spiritual gift is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 simply says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who enables, who empowers, who uses that gift. The second principle that we can take note of from this chapter is spiritual gifts glorify Jesus Christ. Spiritual gifts glorify Jesus Christ. If your spiritual gift is used to glorify yourself, it is not a spiritual gift. It is not being used for the purpose that God has called it to. And that is what the Corinthians were doing. They were elevating some gifts as these were the spiritual ones. These were the best gifts. And those gifts were less important. They didn't matter. I have this gift, so I am more spiritual, and so on. If that is your motive, if it is to puff yourself up, to make yourself look good, it is not a spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts glorify Jesus Christ. The first three verses of chapter 12 are somewhat confusing. Not sure how they fit into the rest of the chapter. We can read them and then I'll try to clarify somewhat. 1 Corinthians 12:1-3. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. But know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. What it says is they were led astray by mute idols. An idol is mute. An idol does not speak. However, God speaks. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. God speaks through his word. And so, whatever they had before their conversion, they worshipped idols that were mute, that did not speak. But believers are spoken to by the Holy Spirit. And then verse 3, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to proclaim, is to announce, is to exalt Jesus Christ. When we come to faith, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you exclaim, Jesus is Lord, that is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so spiritual gifts glorify Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we saw that. In chapter 1, we saw how Paul wants to break the divisions and bring unity by exalting Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, when Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, he simply said, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. When Paul was preaching, Paul said he did not come to them with eloquence. He did not come to them with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that their faith would not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. When Jesus when Paul came to the church of Corinth, he didn't come with eloquence. He came to exalt the crucified Savior. When Billy Graham was beginning his ministry in 1950, roughly, he was approached by Paramount Studios and had lunch with the president of Paramount Studios and was asked if he'd be interested in acting. They had an evangelist in a movie that they wanted to make about evangelism of some sort. And so the president of this Paramount thought that Billy Graham would do a better job than the evangelist that they had. And so he made his proposal to Billy Graham. And Billy Graham looked him straight in the eye and said, "I've been called to preach the gospel, and I'll preach the gospel till I die." Billy Graham made it very clear that his call and his mission was to preach the gospel and not to act. And Paul, when he came to Corinth, he said, I'm not coming with eloquence. I'm not coming, you know, with all sorts of wisdom. I come to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Whatever gift you have, glorify Jesus with it. It may be something as simple as helps. It may be something as simple as showing compassion. But if the Spirit of God has given you that gift, if the Spirit of God is living within you, then use your natural ability, use who you are, and the Spirit of God will flow through you and exalt Jesus. Spiritual gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts glorify Jesus Christ. A third principle is spiritual gifts are determined by God. Let's look at verse 11 of chapter 12. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills. Just as He wills. Just as the Spirit of God wants to, that is how He will distribute to each gift. And then in verse 18, but now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He desired. There is an aspect of God's sovereignty, of God's plan and God's will and God's design, that He gives gifts just as He wants. Whatever gift or gifts God has given to you, that's between, well, I can say that's up to God. That was His choice. God chose to give you that gift, then be okay with that and use it to serve the body of Christ. Who are we then to say, I don't like my gift? I want to be like that person. That person has better gifts. They are more popular, or their gift is better than mine. If we can simply understand and trust and believe that God has placed you in the body as He desired, and God has given you the gift just as He wills, then He can be glorified through that gift. We simply need to walk in obedience and faith and thankfulness that God has given me that gift and I will use it to glorify Him. The word gift is actually the Greek word charisma, which is the same as grace. God's grace is a free gift of salvation. It is free, it is unmerited, it is a favor done. And so too, God's gift, God's, you know, the spiritual gifts that we have are unmerited. They are a free gift. Who are then we to say to God, I don't want this gift. I don't like this gift. It's free. God has given it to you as He determined, as He wills. Be okay with that. Be okay with the gift that God has given to you, that God has used His Spirit to fill you and empower you and use it to exalt Jesus. We also see a touch of that in verse 24. Whereas our more presentable members have no need of it, no need of being covered, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. It just says that God has so composed the body. God has orchestrated, God has put together the body the way he wants to. And whatever part he has placed you into the body of Christ, he wants to use you. It is also interesting in verse 12. It says, For even as a body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So also is Christ. Typically, we would think it would say, so also is Christ's body, the church. But it just says, so also is Christ. We know he's referring to the body. We know he's referring to the body of Christ, you and I. But there's such a close connection between Christ and his body that you and I are the body of Christ. You and I are accomplishing the work of Jesus on earth. So also is Christ. You and I are the body. You and I are in Christ. And because we are in Christ, we are his body, his hands, his feet. Then use your gift to glorify him. And fourthly, the fourth principle about spiritual gifts is they are given to edify the body. In verse 7 of chapter 12, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In verse 15, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. In verse 16, if the ear says, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. If I say to myself, I'm not that part, I'm not that important, I'm not needed, I'm only a toe, I'm only a finger. What the passage is teaching is it doesn't matter. You are in the body. You have a part for the common good. Each part of the body is needed. Each part of the body is necessary. And just because you are a hand or an ear, or because you are not the head, or because you're not, you know, a visible part, you can't say, I'm not part of the body. You are part of the body. The gift that you have is given to you for the common good. The whole body needs you. Or, in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. You may have a more important gift. You may have what we as, you know, humans would think is a more popular gift. If you have a more visible gift, you and I cannot say to the less important gift, I don't need you. We are the body. And that less important gift is just as valuable as the greater gift, because that gift is given for the common good. And the higher gift is given for the common good. And each one of us have a part for the common good, for the body to be built up, for the body to function the way it's supposed to, for my body to fight the infection that it had. It needed to work together to get rid of the infection. And so your part, whatever part it is, significant or insignificant, you are part of the body for the common good, and you are valuable to edify the body of Christ. As we partake of communion, as we get ready for communion, and we remember the body that was broken. And Jesus is trying to get this message across about the body. And first he says, you know, in communion, this is my body broken for you. And yet at the same time he says, you and I are the body. There's such a connection that we work together. We are the body of Christ. And Jesus gave his body, his physical body, to redeem you and I. And he gave his blood shed on the cross for our forgiveness. And yet, when he left, and he gave his Holy Spirit, and he wants his body, the church, to continue until Christ's return. May that be an encouragement to each one of us to use your gift, your ability to glorify Jesus, to edify the body. And remember that God has chosen that gift. God has chosen you to be a part of the body.